Arm's Length Reporting, for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome in, time for KER Politics, chatting with Jimmy. Jimmy and I are going to handle the first three segments of the show today. What we are going to talk about are some articles that I read yesterday in The Week magazine. By the way, The Week is, in my opinion, I don't know if Jim agrees, but just in my opinion, it's pretty middle of the road. I don't think it's a conservative stressing mag. I don't think it's a progressive stressing mag. I think they give the really middle of the road opinion. We're going to start out, we're going to talk about Ron DeSantis a little bit and what happened in Florida with Walt Disney. And the reason I want to do that is I think the election in 24 is going to be globalism versus nationalism, or wokeism versus non-wokeism, and DeSantis is certainly not a woke, in my opinion. Jimmy, why don't you start out, bud?
So Ron DeSantis has been fighting an incredibly strong battle against ideologies that have driven corporate agendas in America right now, in particular with the Disney issues and the special district that Disney had created, that was created for Disney back in the 60s in order for them to be able to grow and expand. Now, Disney's been an incredibly lucrative business for Florida on one hand. On the other hand, they are now delving into domestic local politics and pushing agendas that basically, I believe the founder, Walt Disney, would be turning over in his grave if he knew what they were doing with this gender dysphoria pressing issues, campaigning against the law that says, hey, the schools can't teach, teachers can't teach kindergarten through third grade sex education.
Right.
You know, these are things that morally most of us, I mean, clearly polling indicates, but also just common sense indicates most people support. But these corporations, in particular Disney, have gone all out to attack the governor. And the reason why is in order for them to continue to reap the benefits of a system that has enriched them very powerfully, and then go against the political agendas that would stop them from making those continued gains. And, you know, and I think, in fact, Ron DeSantis is fighting a battle that he appears to be winning, and the Floridians, as well as many in America, support.
Well, I got to tell you, Jimmy, I am very, very interested in you and I following the career of Ron DeSantis in Florida, because I think he's made no secret of the fact that he would like to run for president, and I think that he may very well be a viable alternative for the Republicans. And God knows the Republicans need somebody that I would have to say. I'm not saying they don't need Trump. I'm saying they need somebody very, very strong. DeSantis appears to be strong. Trump appears also to be very strong at this point. As you mentioned in our daily editorial on Thursday, he played a major role with his endorsements in some of the preliminary campaigns that just came up last week. Now,
can I comment on that?
Of course you can.
So Ron DeSantis has made it very clear that he's running for re-election as governor, and he's he's going to do that, and that's his priority, is to take care of Florida as governor and take his responsibilities there very seriously. And he's doing well with that, and he is getting a national name, and he's very supportive. He's supported by Republicans and actually quite a few people in the, you know, in the independent side. But at the same time, in order to run for president, you have to be laying the groundwork fairly significantly early, a couple years out. And so he's really not putting the groundwork in for a presidential run right now that it would take to be successful financially. Now, he would be able to benefit from it if he decided to do it. But I actually think that he's a phenomenal vice presidential candidate. If he decides to do that in 2024, he doesn't have to make a decision until, you know, close to the end. And he may have a lot more power and a lot more direction for Floridians that he could step away from that role. But right now, if he were to step away from that role and begin campaigning, I think he'd undermine all the efforts he's taken in the state. I don't think he's willing to risk that.
Well, I think that's a very valid point, Jim. There's no question about that. I think it's a very valid point. I think in terms of a running mate for Donald Trump, because Donald Trump is going to need, obviously, a running mate because of his age, Donald Trump can do wonders for this country, in my opinion, if he serves that initial term. But his age could conceivably prevent him from running more than one or from serving more than one term. I'm not predicting that would happen. I'm just saying it's a possibility. Now, I agree with you that Ron DeSantis, and I'm on the record as having said that at some point in the past, would make an very, very formidable, strong vice presidential candidate. The point I want to make about Ron DeSantis right now is Disney is a huge powerhouse in Florida. I've been at Disney in Florida. It's amazing how many people they employ. It's amazing what their payroll is. It's amazing how much real estate development they have done in Orlando. It is absolutely amazing what they have done for the state of Florida. But the fact of the matter is their wokeism philosophy of don't use the word gay on our property, etc., etc., I simply do not agree with. I think that's doing the gay community a disservice, if you want to know the truth.
Well, I just think it's a political action driven by people that have a different agenda.
Right. You know,
and unfortunately, the elite in America right now that have been involved in corporate management no longer look at themselves as Americans. They look at themselves as globalists.
Right.
And the unfortunate part about it is they are driven by these ideologies that are basically away from the average person. I think it's going to hurt them. I think it's hurting them in Florida. I think it's hurting Disney significantly overall as their price, their value drops. And of course, their brand was all about kids. And if you're teaching kids these crazy ideologies and forcing, LGBTQ plus whatever ideologies on them, you're going to lose parents. It's just the reality. There's just not that many people. And it does appear that they are actively doing it to achieve political ends.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's in their interest at all. I think it's foolish, mistaken.
Yeah.
And I think Ron DeSantis and his fight, not only against Disney, but of a lot of these policies with immigration, a lot of the policies of, the federal mandates that he's pushed back against and done so well managing mm-hmm. his state, are beginning to resonate with many independent voters and actually a lot of Democratic voters, as well as a vast majority of Republican voters. So he's in a very good position. He's done a lot of good things. It's inspirational for other conservatives around the nation. And I think that needs to stand, it needs to continue.
Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any question about that. The one thing that I do want to stress is that I think that Ron DeSantis has a very, very common sense policy. I think the woke philosophy is quite frankly crazy. And I think a lot of Democrats kind of feel the same way. There's no question in my mind about that. Jimmy, we've only got we've only got 30 seconds to go. My glass guy just showed up. Wrap it up, will you, for 30 seconds?
You bet. Yeah. So very much we need to talk about this agenda. We need to talk about what's happening with the Durham investigation. We need to talk a little bit about what's happening with the Supreme Court and the abortion rights issue and how that's undermining the nation. And I think these are important topics. Important issues. We're going to continue on with the rest of the show talking about those issues along with Frieda, and we'll be right back in just a few after this commercial break.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in, finishing segment number one, the first half of the Kenny Corlin Review. I want to say that what's important, in my opinion, we talked about it at the Bible study yesterday. I did not bring it up. My fellow brothers brought it up. The Roe v. Wade situation. Jimmy has a pretty strong opinion on that, as I do also. What I find to be fascinating about what's attempting to be done here is Roe v. Wade was always meant to go back to the states. What's wrong with that? Why the big hullabaloo, Jimmy?
Because this was an orchestrated political attack.
Of course it was.
To mobilize activists in the primaries to get out the vote for the Democratic Party. And they're using this, the timing of this was no accident. You know, the first primaries in Ohio and Indiana happened this last week. Of course, Trump-endorsed candidates won 22 races, no losses.
Right.
And overall, I think he was 55-0 in his endorsement over the last week in primary endorsements. That's a powerful statement. What I think the very important number to realize is that in those primary, usually primaries have pretty low turnout, but there was like a better than 20-point drop in Democrat turnout in the primaries and better than 20-point gain in Republican turnout in the primaries in Ohio and Indiana. Those are staggering numbers.
Yep.
So what I believe was happening here, the Democratic Party in desperation, in coordination and conduct with some lawyer that was working as an intern, as a Supreme Court intern, realized they had to pull the trigger on something massive in order to create not only fear and panic in those voters, but also something to mobilize them.
Well, that's a possibility. That's a very definite possibility. But I got to tell you, with the press that the Democrats are getting right now, with Nancy Pelosi's trip over to Ukraine, et cetera, I think the Democrats are pretty confident right now, and I hope that they are. And the reason I say that I hope that they are is I think they're going to get surprised. What's your opinion?
Well, I think they're pretending to be confident because they have no other choice. But the reality, the numbers, even on the mainstream media outlets, on CNN, on MSNBC, even the top talking heads on the left, progressive ideologues, are recognizing the massive failure of this administration in the eyes of the American voting public. Right now, Biden is in the low 30s in success rate. In economic, he's really down. In a head-to-head race against Donald Trump, he loses by 12, 15 points in some of these latest polls. There is a 25-plus point drop in Hispanic support and a 20-plus drop in Black support with the Democratic Party based on the principles and the policies that the wokesters have been pushing from the far left of the Democratic Party. And I think a lot of Democrats are beginning to realize that there's no way out of this, but people, the leadership, the Schumers, the Pelosis, the people, the old school leadership, are going to their same old tactics, create fear, mobilize their base, get activists involved, and unfortunately make specific violent threats through these organizations and volunteer groups and activist groups against sitting Supreme Court justices. It's insane. It's insane. And we've got, there's Chuck Schumer a year ago is on record publicly threatening the justices with this type of activity and violence. And this is, these types of things you cannot stand in a transparent democratic republic. And here's the big problem. The Department of Justice is focusing on, no kidding, climate equity investigations and white supremacists. When the Antifa, the BLM activists, the extremists on the left towards in the abortion argument are actually threatening and creating damage and violence, and they have over since 2020.
Yeah. Well, I have to tell you, it wouldn't surprise me, quite frankly, with the approval ratings that the president has right now, which are down in the 30s. I believe it was almost as low as 31% by one poll earlier this week. It wouldn't surprise me if, quote unquote, a white knight in shining armor didn't come along to replace Biden, because I don't think that's... I don't think the vice president can do it effectively, Jimmy. I know that may seem like a very, very off-the-wall prediction, but I think it's the only thing that could sustain the executive office for the Democrats at this point.
I think there's probably searching right now going on with the leadership inside the right. Biden regime for somebody that could come in and kind of clean this up. I don't know, though, if they're willing to take that risk, because it would be admitting defeat. And of course, that would set them up fairly weakly for the 2024 election. Who knows what will happen between now and November of this year with the midterms? There could be, I question everything, and I would not be surprised with anything that would come up. I mean, COVID out of the blue, when our economy was skyrocketing, and you get these absolute deep state frauds. And more information is coming out how fraudulent the entire lockdown scenario was, the masking, the false information presented by Pfizer for FDA approvals for the drugs, the EUAs, the potential damages that they've provided, and the lack of transparency is becoming clear. And so I would not be surprised of what these people, what the elitists would do to actually undermine safety and security of the American public in order to achieve political power. And that's what people need to be really awake to and waiting for, prepared for, because they're going to try anything they can to keep in power.
Well, of course they are. It's politics. There's no question about that. I think what I would like to flip over to in the next segment, I know you want to talk about more about the Durham investigation, the direction that is changing, it's very important to realize the direction that is taking, because that could be an absolute killer. That could be the greatest thing that ever happened to the Republicans. I don't think there's any question about that.
Well, I think important to the nation in general.
Yeah, I know you do, but I don't disagree, but I also think that the way the COVID situation was handled, and I just want to give one comment on that. I think when the truth comes to the surface on that one, I think it could be negative for the Democrats. Stick around, I'm going to be right back.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment. Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome back. Continuing with KER Politics. Hope you enjoyed the top of the hour news. I hope it was better on the station that you were listening to than some of the stuff that I hear. I want to just make one comment about the way the Democrats handled the COVID. And it really, in my opinion, doesn't center around the Democrats. It centers around the physicians who were... the spokespeople and in power, for lack of better terms, and it also centers to an extent around the pharmaceutical companies. We just read a book entitled A Pox Upon Your House that was written by a close friend of one of the members of our book club. The numbers pertaining to masking up, the numbers pertaining to... basically, what's the word I'm looking for, Jimmy? Staying alone, not contacting other people. The numbers that have dealt with the distancing, etc., etc. According to the author, Scott Atlas, the numbers did not support the COVID situation, which leads to an article that was also in The Week magazine, which pretty much agrees. It was a letter from the publisher, and it pretty much agrees with what I just said. Let's get into Durham, Jimmy. Take it away, bud.
Yeah, I will agree that the information is staggering, the number of people that have died because of the lockdowns, not directly because of COVID, because the depression, the fentanyl overdoses, the alcoholism, all those issues, significant damage to our society and our community. And we're not over it yet. The CDC is not helping America right now. With the Durham investigation.
Yeah.
And I just remind people, the Durham investigation is looking at the foundations of the Mueller investigation, the Russian collusion hoax, and where that started and how it started. And he's narrowed in on Michael Sussman, who is a Clinton DNC a lawyer for the campaign through the company Perkins Coie out of Seattle. And
continue for a minute and a half.
Yeah, you bet. And so this group, this organization of what actually Durham is calling a conspiracy, created fictitious information according to documents filed with the court through Durham's filings against Sussman and is lying to the FBI. It confirmed that they have worked a conspiracy to frame Donald Trump and his campaign to be associated with Russia. Now, the information that's coming out is that and he goes to trial this next week, that in that case, he used false data, went to the FBI, went to the CIA, and went to news media agencies as well to peddle this story, and the media, the FBI, the Department of Justice, all just were salivating to encourage this story, to the point where the FBI and the DOJ began investigating individuals, putting warrants for illegal warrants to tap phones of campaign managers and spread this conspiracy in order to undermine confidence in the Trump campaign. That entire effort is now under scrutiny. And of course, it kicked off the Mueller investigation after 2 years, which found zero evidence of collusion, even though they had 17 lawyers that were anti-Trump, that were basically attacking the entire process and thinking that they could, put them in jail. They did charge people with lying in a couple of cases that were, obviously, politically motivated. And what I argue is that if Durham does not go to the full core, the essence of exactly who supported this within the U.S. government, in the media, and then hold those accountable within the DNC, the Democratic National Committee, and the Hillary for America campaign, if they do not hold those people accountable, then we have really crossed the line into just a politically driven, pathetic third world state that no longer respects the rule of law or respects the basic principles of the vote. And I think this is really, really important for people to kind of watch this, to follow it, to see where it goes, and really hold Durham and his team accountable for ensuring that he presses forward with the evidence that's out there. I think Durham has done a really good job of not leaking information to the media. If you remember during the Mueller investigation, there were leaks every day, all the time, just continually. Then the media just jumped on him. And that was from specifically organized and orchestrated through members of the investigating team and the Mueller investigating team. Durham is not doing that. You're not seeing any of that. In fact, what you're seeing is a very carefully orchestrated case being played out in the court through filings that actually highlights the conspiracy between the DNC, Clinton's campaign, Michael Sussman, Perkins Coie Law Firm, Fusion GPS, Glenn Simpson being the guy running that show, and analysts to create this fictitious narrative that somehow Trump was connected to this Alpha Bank organization through the Trump Tower. That data was actually falsified, and of course was coordinating with Russians in order to undermine U.S. national security. I think this is an incredibly important effort, and probably the most important case in my view of American history, because of the level of deceit and deception from a major campaign, not only against another major campaign, major political party, but against a sitting president of the United States and staff within the U.S. government. So I'm absolutely just as more and more information comes out, I'm somewhat hopeful, but I'm absolutely devastated that this could happen in America. It's just really disheartening.
Yeah, it is disheartening. There's no question about that. I've always made the comment, Jimmy, that I wonder if this thing is going to see the surface, if it's going to get above the surface of the water, and I hope it does. It seems to me just totally logical that it should Americans should be aware of this, but I guess neither you nor I know how this is going to shake out. But give an opinion.
Yeah, what I pray for, what I hope for, is that there's transparency in this process, and that the people that were actually involved and in orchestrating this event are held accountable and actually go to prison.
Yeah.
I hope that the DNC, we know the DNC and the Clinton campaign have actually had to pay fines with the Federal Elections Commission,
right,
because they falsely claimed legal fees as legal advice and fees when it was actually political anti, dirt digging on political opponents. So, that's a start. But the problem really is exactly what you're saying, Al. Will the media pick it up? Will even the left-wing media recognize how dangerous this is to the Republic to have a political party do it? Because what happened if it was the other way around?
Yeah.
What happened if the Trump campaign had done this to the Clinton campaign? What happens in the future? And who gets away with it? Just whoever's in power?
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, we have Merrick Garland, who is a political hack inside. Thank God that man was not put on the Supreme Court at the end of the Obama administration.
No question about that.
He is a political, just unbelievably politically driven law enforcement officer. He's like the KGB. This is crazy.
Yeah. It's an interesting situation. What's going on in the country, Jimmy, is an interesting situation right now. It's almost unbelievable to me. But hopefully 2024 will be the end of it. It's really hard to say right now if that's going to happen, but I hope and pray very definitely that is very definitely what is going to happen. Ladies and gentlemen, Jimmy and I have discussed three incredibly important topics. Stick around, give your opinions. We're going to be right back. Here to wrap up KER Politics, got Dr. Frieda Birnbaum with me. We're going to talk about Frieda's view of the United States past and future. I'm pretty concerned myself. Frieda and I have talked about this a bit off mic, and I'm very concerned about what's going on in our country. I personally feel that it all centers around moral values, but I'm not telling Dr. Frieda what to say. What do you think is going on with America today, Frieda?
Well, you're absolutely right. That and other factors. We're suffering economically. We're going in the wrong direction. And the household income actually is falling behind the cost of living. So people are really scared. Will they have food on the table? And also the nation's top politicians and the political parties are really very unpopular today, more than ever. And there's very lack of interest in the upcoming midterms as well. So, when Americans were asked to describe where they believe America is today, well, the top answers were struggling, lost, negative. There wasn't anything positive going on at all. And there were some of the findings that a new view from NBC, a poll, that they just recently took showed that Biden's approval rate is lower than 40%. So you go. It's really decreasing, and 72% of the people say the country's headed in the wrong direction. So we can't look away from this. It's really obvious that the population here is feeling the pressures of what's going on in our society. And I don't even have to tell anybody that, you know, with the virus, the election integrity, social and racial injustice that's going on, and then the climate change, jobs, the economy, I mean, you name it, there's so much thrown at us that we are in a really bad state. But what's interesting about this, I just represented the Democrats. This is what they're saying. The Republicans really are looking for a border security with immigration, taxes, and spending and the cost of living. So they're more into capitalistic point of views, and the Democrats really are looking for help from the government. And I think we're going in that direction.
So you think the Democrats would do okay if they got back in power? Or no, I'm sorry, you mentioned the Republicans first. What would you kind of like to see happen in terms of the elections coming up?
Well, we definitely need a president that's going to function.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a puppet here. I wonder how much of Obama is involved and Pelosi is involved, and who knows who else is involved. I mean, the other day I saw him shaking hands with someone that wasn't there. So it's getting really very scary. And then, you know, we're heading into a situation also where the white is not going to be a majority, that the Hispanic and the minorities will be the majority population. And this is according to the Census Bureau. So when we're looking at this, the votes are going to change, and people who need help are going to ask for help from the government. And so we're going more into democratic, social type of political points of view. And we're really going to face a crisis because, you know, that Biden really exasperated all these policies as well with Putin, the war, our economy. We have large national debt. There's corrupt police. There's terrible education system and letting in immigrants. So, you know, how bad can he get? What else is he going to do that's going to bring this country down?
Well, I think it's going to take a stronger president. I think this country, what the country really needs, number one, this is probably an impossibility in light of recent events. And I think the country needs, you know, cooperation from both sides of the aisle. But I got to tell you, I don't think it's going to happen. I really don't think it's going to happen. And that's a damn shame.
It's true. And, you know, it's interesting because capitalism is still the preferred economic system in our country because you have the initiative and the drive, less depression, the research has shown as well. And the masses are being represented in a way that they can be productive. And then, of course, the economy and socialism is a little part of that because the government does help out the public as well. So we have both for ourselves, both sides of the coin. And it seems to be that that's what's worked for us the best. And this is what we need to strive for. We don't have the option because when people don't have any kind of ability to demonstrate that they're entrepreneurs, scientists, doctors, to stand out in any way, they get depressed. I mean, research has shown that. So there's nothing in it that says it's good not to have to strive to have a better lifestyle, to be contented and to be equal. There's no drive there. And what happens after a while, there's loss of interest and other things as well. So to keep this kind of capitalistic environment is extremely important for everyone. Even people who are in need of government help will be better off if in any way they could help themselves because they will strive to be better, not just to be mundane and have a life of low stress but low accomplishments and really nothing much to look forward to.
Well, I have to say, coming from a clinical psychologist, I think that's a pretty good point of view. I agree 100% with you, and I don't have the education that you do, but I think we need a little bit of, idealistically speaking, we need help in the sense that people have to, for lack of better terms, they really have to understand that the future is in their hands. It's not in the hands of the government. I personally feel, and interestingly enough, other people feel the same way, that one of the biggest disincentives in America, I mentioned moral values, freedom, but I got to tell you, I think an even bigger disincentive is a high welfare system. People, and I don't necessarily mean welfare for people who need it, but I mean truly need it on the one hand. And I have to tell you, I think the system right now, the Democrats, in my opinion, are truly taking advantage of the weak side of the electorate. And I wish the electorate would understand that. How do you feel about that statement?
Well, the Democrats care about the votes. Let's face it. Do they really care about the people? Are they really doing something to uplift our society? We keep going downhill. What is this really about? Are we able to trust the voting system at all? It's corrupt. So where do we really go with it? Democrats, you know, have the wrong name. Democrats does not mean democracy. If anything, they feel they rule, that they're in charge of everybody, but they're really not. They're going in a place where people are not going to be able to travel. They're not going to be able to have perks. We're going to be on this level of complacency. So what are we really? Do we really have a democracy with Democrats? 100% not. They are the most corrupt. The things that they do behind the scene, the way they got the votes in, everything has been in such a place that we need to really be able to reassess what the political arena in our government really is. And, you know, when we look at the way our government has been run, and that made sense in the past, it may not make sense anymore. We have different needs. And people are looking to see how they can enhance their life. And in no way will their lives be enhanced with higher taxes, with lack of any kind of incentive to make a difference in our society. And I can tell you one thing, our society is going to become very much like other societies. Not what the leadership in America is today.
Yeah, unfortunately, I have to agree with you 100%. We're going to talk again on this subject, Frieda, and what I would like to do is I'd like you to put on your thinking cap and basically come up with what you think might be some solutions. I'm a little bit reticent to say what I'm about to say, but to take out the word reticent, I'm going to do it. I think we need a very strong president. And I think right now, in my opinion, that would probably either have to be Trump or DeSantis. Everybody else, in my opinion, is truly out for themselves. The woman who is just a heartbeat away from the presidency, I think, is truly nothing but a fault politician out for her own interest. Dr. Birnbaum, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Always a pleasure. Thank you.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.